Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 100-Year Real Estate Investor. We're your host, Jake and Gino, and this is the show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Got an interesting topic today. Today, we're discussing why all the high net worth people in our network own whole life. G-Dad, how's it going today?
Jake, I'm doing good, and I'd like to lead off by saying success leaves clues.
Ooh.
If you want to create massive wealth and you want to retain that wealth, well, go and look at a lot of people who've done it. And we have a lot of those people in our community and throughout the world. Most people say, hey, real estate, great place to actually create massive wealth. And I agree. Stock market, not so much. Whole life, people always say to themselves, well, I've heard the term buy term and invest the difference. Now, Jake, come on. How many people do you know out there are going to go buy term and invest the difference?
It's buy term and invest into a flat screen. Buy term and go buy a car. Buy term and oh shit, we just had a kid. We need diapers. That's kind of what we see happening here.
And I will start off with a story of mine that I started back in the year 2000. I purchased my first whole life policy back in 2000. It was only $5,000 a year. May not seem like a lot of money to a lot of people, but for me back then, like Jake said, I had my first child. The business wasn't doing so great. I was putting money into 401ks. I diverted some of that. Put the money in there. 20 years later, it's an amazing... The results are astounding. I would have pissed away that $5,000 a year. We all know we would have done it. Quick. It would have been gone. It's what is it? $400 a month? It doesn't seem like a lot. But at the end of that 20 plus years...
Dude, that's not even a grocery run these days.
Nothing. Think about that. But to me, I've got over $160,000 in cash value in that policy. Now that I put five, it's returning me 10. I have over $600,000 in death benefit on that policy. So I've bought net worth. My money's been safely tied in that. I've used that policy on the way to start my real estate ventures. Back in 2008, I borrowed the cash value from that policy to invest in my duplexes.
That policy bailed our ass out on our third deal.
And really on our third deal, the letter of credit, we needed $75,000 letter of credit. So what I did is I collateralized the cash value in there. I didn't even pull it out. I collateralized it. The bank says, good. And then after a year, they released it. So just to think of all the ways, by the way, try to do that with a 401k. You're getting penalties. The opportunity cost. As entrepreneurs, we know that. And Dave Ramsey says, hey, you need an emergency fund. You need 3 to 6 months of savings. Well, that's the way that I looked at my whole life policy, my little baby over there. If I ever needed something, I could pull out of it. But it was enough of a barrier that I wasn't going in there in my checking account and ripping out and going out and spending a couple $1,000 on a luxury. It was there when I needed it. I needed to jump through a hoop. I needed to call the company up. We needed to wait a couple of days. It wasn't an impulse, but it saved my ass on so many occasions. And not even that, I would not be here right now because I never would have been able to afford to invest in those properties in Rochester. And what I did was the dual asset strategy. I bought those deals, made some cash flow. When I sold them, I paid back the loan, replenished the cash value, and went ahead and did it with Jake. So for me, it's not a question of should you have whole life as part of your portfolio. The question is how much should you have? Because when you're starting out and you're young, you're saying to yourself, oh, I need to build up my equity. Okay. I'm going to tell everyone out there, we are so brainwashed, Jake, into telling people, oh, you need to chase yield. Well, I'm trying to compare, you know, whole life to real estate. It doesn't work that way. They're different assets. One does one thing, one does another. What you do is you put money into a whole life policy. And in the last couple of years, Jake and I have had a little bit of pain. We've only closed on a couple hundred units in the last 12 to 18 months. We closed on a big deal in the last 2 weeks, but these last 12 to 18 months, we weren't able to buy because of the euphoria, because of the crazy prices. And now all of a sudden, if you got money in the stock market, stocks are down 30%. You got money in a whole life policy, it's still chugging away, guaranteed 4 or 5% returns there. I'm able to take the money out of that whole life policy. And now all of a sudden, deals are coming in real estate. I don't have to time anything. I got money into different buckets. I look at it as the bucket system, having savings, cash management. In real estate, we call it CapEx. That money is all in the whole life policy. It's for called life insurance for a reason because you're using it while you're alive.
Gino, you're talking about baby money soldiers is what you're talking about right now. You're
saying
every dollar
term.
No, you didn't. Every dollar needs a job. Some of the jobs of the dollar are more aggressive than others. This is one that's less sexy. And Gino was talking about in the beginning that success leaves clues. And as we network with different people in the real estate space, we're at events, talking to colleagues about their strategy. This is one of those sleepers. It comes out over dinner. Hey, we're talking, and then whole life comes up. And it's not something super sexy that people talk about. They're not like, oh, here's the thing. I just did a 130 unit deal. I'm going to refi $2 million out of it. That's sexy. And people want to hear that. Whole life is this one in the background that chugs along and grows with you. And it's there as a safety net, allows you to pull out money, reinvest in deals over time. And it leaves a legacy for yourself and your family. So it's not something that people all the time are like bragging about on social media and these things. But behind the scenes, when you're talking with high net worth individuals, as the people in our network, we find out many times over dinner, having a cup of coffee with somebody, that, oh, you're in a whole life too. Talk to me about it. Like, oh, I love it. It's doing this, that for me. So this is the types of stuff when you're not exposed to it. And they talk about, you're the average of the five people you hang around with. You may not be hanging around people right now that have whole life insurance. Fortunately for myself and Gino, we are. And those are some very wealthy individuals. And there's a reason that they have it and consistently have it once you see someone's net worth.
And Jake, there's so many other ways to use it. When I was in business with my brother, God forbid if something happened to one of us, the other one would have to inherit the business. Now, I love my
brother.
You
guys are hedging your bets with it.
I love my brother. Don't want to have his wife as my partner. So he set up a buy-sell agreement. Now, I set up a term buy-sell agreement because back then I didn't have people who were wealthy. I didn't know these principles. So I was Mr. Cheapo, and Jake can relate to that because Jake is just as cheap as I am. Maybe cheaper sometimes. How about that? Ooh, VRBO,
thank you,
bro?
Thank you.
Saving the money in the VRBOs. He's That's always right. looking to save money. But in this instance, I wasn't looking at the value. I was looking
at Gino,
the cost.
I got to stop you right there. I'm responsible for these dollars that I'm sending out to war. Okay. I'm not doing my family's, I'm not doing the correct job for my family if I'm not watching my money. So if I'm saving $2,000 here and feeling good about it, I did a good job for my family and I can sleep well at night. Okay.
You're a financial steward. That's what you're being, my friend. You're being a financial steward.
Taking care of my familia.
I wish more people were like that. But what I did is I set up the buy-sell agreement. I bought a term because term is a lot cheaper. The problem is it protected us. But when
price versus value,
when the term expired, when we sold the restaurant, guess what? It went bye-bye. If I had set up as a whole life, I would continue to be paying into it. And listen, everybody, I understand the pain. It feels as if it's an expense. The money's up in la-la land somewhere. It doesn't feel like you own it.
It's renting versus owning, Gino. I mean, what you're alluding to, it's renting a house over time, never seen any equity buildup versus buying something. It's renting versus owning. It's the simplest way to put it.
And the constant thing of you log into it once a year, it is boring. You're not going to a cocktail party and saying, hey, I just made 60% of my crypto. it's not happening with this, but you don't want that to happen. You want to really, safe, secure. And this is for people when they start retiring, when they're 60, 65 years old, they've got $2 million in an IRA account. Guess what? You don't have $2 million in an IRA account. You all of a sudden have to pay taxes on the $2 million. So you're already diluted 30 to 40% on top of that. Give that to your heirs. You'll see the pain that is involved. So what you try to do is you try to set this up earlier on and put the money into these vehicles because number one, it's a forced savings. Number two, it's safe. Three, what Jake and I like to say, it's liquid. Not Coors Light liquid, but liquid. Mm. Okay. I don't like the Coors Light. I'm more of a Guinness guy. You know what I mean? I don't know about you. Yeah, I know about you.
I'm still looking for that Coors Light sponsorship. So folks, if you're listening, we're here for you. Okay.
The next one is leverageable. We as real estate investors understand that. Put money into a policy, you borrow the money out, it's uninterrupted compounding, you lever it and you buy a real estate asset. Or if you want to, go invest in crypto. You've got two assets from $1.
Yeah.
Let's start the party.
Well, Gino, also you have a story that you wanted to share too, don't you?
I do, but it's private also, and it's protected from taxes. And one of the stories that I like to share is one of the students reached out to me and he had put money into whole life policy. Now, Wall Street says you can't use the word invest. Great. You're buying the asset. You're not investing in whole life. Whatever. They co-opted the word. Wall Street wants the money.
whatever.
They want the money to go into Wall Street. Understand that. They want to create. Now, this is a learning lesson for everybody because it took me years to understand this. IRAs, pensions started in the 1970s. They had to figure out a way for the average person to put money into the stock market to be able to create demand for stocks. So you create demand for stocks by starting all of these plans. the Jakes and the Ginos of the world and all the jabronis out there just start mindlessly putting money into the 401ks, all of a sudden stock prices go up. But it gets even better. When you get to be 70 and a half years old, you have to start liquidating. So they're creating the supply. So not only are they creating the demand, they're creating supply, because when you hit 70 and a half, you have to sell a certain percentage. So you're selling out of it. So how amazing is that? They're creating liquidity and they're creating trading and they're filling their own pockets. Because if you have $1 million when you're 70 and a half years old, you need to liquidate a certain percentage, even if you don't want to. So you have no control there. You have no leverageability there. You have no liquidity.
Well, think about
there.
It from their perspective. They're creating a guaranteed machine that's going to continue spitting out cash for them. It's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. That, but right? We didn't know that until wow. Whereas whole life is completely devoid of it. Now, Jake told me to share a story. A student calls me up and he has buyer's remorse, because I'm sure he's being inundated every day from the Dave Ramsey of the world to say, buy a term, invest the difference. You know, whole life, I'm comparing it to what my real estate returns. And I just said to him, basically, listen, you're a long-term thinker. You're a long-term planner. You want to protect your family. You need liquidity in the short term, but you want to buy net worth for when you pass away, because you're going to accumulate more real estate assets. You may not have the liquidity to pay any of the estate taxes, so you don't want your kids to become mom and pops and sell their properties to Jake and Gino. So you need this. This is great for you. It doesn't feel as if anything's happening the first couple of years, but that's okay. It feels like a forced expense because you're putting money in there. You're not seeing those 10, 20% returns, but that money is there safe and sound. So if and when you find that next real estate deal, you're able to pull that out. And I talked him off the ledge and he's like, thanks. I need to speak to you. Unfortunately, people who have 7, 8-figure net worths are few and far between in this country. They don't understand the principles. So when you're constantly being bombarded with buy term, they're marketing to the masses. They're not marketing to people who understand financial intelligence. And Wall Street, pharmaceuticals, they're the ones who have the money. They're the ones who are marketing. So Wall Street's not going to market whole life. They're going to market Fidelity and they're going to market 401ks and they're going to market Schwab and all this stuff to trade stocks. They have no incentive. Very simple. Another one, the self-directed IRA. There is, I think, 7% of all the money in IRA accounts is held by self-directed IRAs. That is a minuscule amount. Why is that? Because Wall Street wants the money in the 401k trading stocks. If you're directing your own self-directed IRA, there's no money going to Wall Street. It costs you $300 to pay the custodian. They're not making any money there. You're taking control of your future. They want to take the control away from you and put it into Wall Street and put it into banks. And the last thing I'll say about the rant, look at what other companies are doing when it comes to whole life. Go look at a balance sheet of a bank and see where their money is. It's not in the stock market, people. The vast majority of their assets, or whether it's in real estate or it's in cash value whole life insurance. They understand that they need obligations. They're taking money on their employees, getting whole life policies on their key men. They're putting it there because they need the liquidity and the safety and the guarantee. And they can't have the roller coaster ride of the market up 10% one day, down 20% the next year. They need the safety, the security, and the liquidity and the guarantee of what a whole life policy delivers.
It's really interesting, Gino, because I'm thinking about right now, everything good comes in threes, right? So what does the mass media push to us? Get a job. Then what do? Then from a job, you put your money into the stock market. Then you have a kid and you get a 529 plan, right? That's the path to stagnation. If you really want to know the easiest way to get rich, own real estate. Own physical real estate assets. And if you compare that with a real estate professional designation, even better. We don't got to get into cost seg and all that, but that's number one. The second piece to that is have a small business or any kind of business, be an entrepreneur. So you own real estate assets with real estate professional designation. And then maybe you own a business like myself. Maybe you own a property management company to support your business. Or maybe, you know, like some of, you know, our other Jake and Gino folks out there, you have another type of small business, you're a realtor, whatever the case may be. So you got real estate holdings, you own a small business, and then you have whole life on top of it. So you're getting the business to help with the cash injections early on. You're putting the money into real estate. And then for the long term and the protection, you have the whole life. It's as simple as that. It's three vehicles that you really need to make a shit ton of money in America. And you don't got to overcomplicate it. It's as simple as that. It's done. You're done. You do those three things, you're going to be very wealthy. I'm sorry. I have. Do you want to stop?
I have nothing left to say. I was going to say, mic drop. And how can I end this thing? I
mean, how can you ever compare that, Gino, to the 529, the 401k, and a W-2 job? That's what is promoted to us. That's what people tell us to get. It's absolutely okay at best. It's stagnant. It's very boring. Okay. Flip side is own real estate, have a small business, get your whole life.
And what I would say, let me end by this. What Jake talked about, those three pillars, what's going on with the tax consequences there? When you're a W-2 employee, where you're putting money into these plans, they're tax advantage, but you got to pay on the harvest, right? For the most part. And if your kid doesn't go to college, 529s are terrible. And then all of a sudden there's no growth in them, the fees in them. One side is tax penalized. The other side is tax advantage. What side do you want to be on? You can choose right now to start a small business. You can choose right now to start funding a whole life. You can choose right now to start buying real estate. Is it easy? No, it's simple. Jake just laid out the plan to you, but you have to understand, if you want to create wealth, Jake laid that plan out for you.
It's really very simple, folks. Hey, as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He's the G-Daddy. We make it happen. We'll see you next time.